Good morning, Bridge City Church. What an awesome privilege and what an honor it is to be your lead pastor. Listen, if you've been here over the last decades, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness. And listen, if you're here like maybe for the last 5, 10 years, man, you're fully in the culture, you're growing, and you're growing to your full potential. And listen, if you're new here, hey, if you're new, we believe that, in a big welcome home to you, we believe you found your people, you found your tribe, you found the place that you're going to grow in your faith, your full potential. That's what we are all about. We call this a faith walk. That's right, it's a walk of faith. How many of you out there would like to be pleasing to God and grow in your faith? Here we go. I'm going to launch this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's right. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seeks Him. That's right. So if we want to be a people of faith, listen, it's going to take a stretch. You see, God normally calls us one level beyond what we could do on our own. That's why they call it faith. That's right. And at Bridge City Church, average, good enough, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, will never be said here, because we're on a journey. God is calling us forward, and He's calling us forward to have the mentality to finish strong. That's right. Finish strong. Here we are at the halfway point of what we called our One Vision campaign. What began as a 36-month generosity initiative, what that is that 207 households committed to give over and above their regular giving, their regular tithes and offerings, and they made big faith-filled commitments here, and here we are at the halfway point. So we believe in accountability to God, and we believe in giving a report to the people, so that's what we're doing today. So what started as a 36-month generosity initiative is now an 18-month generosity initiative. That's right, and we want to encourage you to finish strong, but yet also invite those who haven't had the opportunity to participate to participate, because we believe God is up to something really, really good here at Bridge City Church. So you ready for the big idea? Here it is. Here it is. Bridge City Church will finish strong and obtain the promises of God when we together with one heart survey the promises of God, see the difficulties, but yet we still step forward in faith. Faith, that's what today is all about. Faith does not deny that there's a difficulty. It declares the power of God, that's what it does, based on the promises of God, even in the face of difficulties and problems. That's what faith really, really is. And because we at Bridge City Church have a great hope for tomorrow, then that's going to require a faith for today. And that's what we're all about building. So I want to take you to Numbers chapter 13 in the Old Testament. God's people, the Israelites, were being led by a man named Moses. Millions of people were being taken from Egypt, a place of captivity, a place of slavery and bondage, that God released them, but they were in the process of going in and stepping in to the promises of God. It was a faith journey. Now, what should have only taken days turned out to be years. And we're going to find that out. And we're going to find out why here today. Listen, because it's a faith journey. So God has promises for you and me. As a matter of fact, He has placed intrinsically in each and every one of us a desire to make a big difference and leave a legacy. And that's what our faith is really all about. So Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses. Who said to Moses? The Lord. Send out men to explore the land that I am giving to you. Who's giving it to you? To them? God was giving. So send 12 men, one from every ancestral tribe to represent. And so there were 12 men that Moses was going to send in. So Moses gave them these instructions. Here's the instructions on what you're to do. See what the land is like. God has already promised. As a matter of fact, it's referred to as the promised land. So God said he was doing something. So go see what it's like. Okay, good. What kind of people are there? Few or many? Strong, weak? What kind of land is it? Is it good or bad? Does it have walls? Does it have camps? Is it hills and valleys? What kind of soil's there? What kind of trees are there? Listen, and then can you bring back some produce? Can you bring back an example of what the land has? That's what they were supposed to do here. I want to let you know that at Bridge City Church, our pastors, our elders, our leaders, representatives from all of our campuses have surveyed the land, and we see good things ahead. That's right. We see that in Murraysville, in White Oak, that listen, we need our own space. We need land. We need a building. That's what we're sacrificing, and that's what we're giving towards. Listen, at Brighton Heights and North Braddock, we have facilities that we need to update so that we can say and scream forward that we believe in generations. As a matter of fact, we have a generational mindset at Bridge City Church. 2 Timothy 2:2, take these things that you've been received and give them to trustworthy people so that they can give them on to others. We believe in generations. We believe that our best days are yet ahead. So if we believe that, it needs to show up on our calendar and with our cash. That screams our values. So that what we're going to do is with our calendar, we're going to set it. And with our money, we're going to give towards it. We're going to invest in generations. And we're going to invest in changed lives. We have surveyed God's promises. As a matter of fact, we have continued to grow at a rate of 10%. Here at Bridge City Church, we're seeing an increase of people that have crossed the bridge. That's right, who have made Jesus the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. That's what we're giving to. What a cause to give to. That is just so awesome. You see, we have seen, we have surveyed the promises of God. So let's look now as we go through here to Numbers 13, and let's look at their report in verse 27. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land which you sent us to explore. About 40 days it took for them to explore that. 40 is a number typically used in the Bible to represent trials, a time of testing. Therefore, so they went into the land and they said, it's a bountiful country. Wow, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's what it produces. And they brought back great big produce and it was huge. But the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. You see, what happened was the difficulties began to capture them. They were only supposed to go in and survey the land, but they saw difficulties. We at Bridge City Church see difficulties that we have. We're not afraid to say that there's difficulties and problems. But they saw them, and the difficulties began to capture them. You see, faith sees the problem. But that's why we need faith. That's why we say that we need faith here. Listen, we could easily say we don't have enough people. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. Why don't we just stay small? Why don't we just stay comfortable? Why don't we stay complacent? No, may those things never be said of us. See, the problem was in their report, they only made reference of the difficulties. There was no reference of God. When we see the difficulties, let's make sure that we reference God. You see, the 10 of the spies saw themselves on a mission for Moses. Two of them saw that they were on a mission from God. Are we on a mission for the church, or are we on a mission from God? That's the question. So now there was a call to faith. Caleb, one of the leaders that went in from the tribe of Judah, went in, surveyed the promises, saw the difficulties. What did he do? He tried to quiet the people, but he said, let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. We can. As a matter of fact, all across all of our campuses right now, I want you to say that out loud. We can. We can. That's right. We can. We are able. We have the power. We have the capacity to prevail and succeed. It's let go. In my vernacular, it is like, come on, we can do this. Come on. That's what faith says. You see, that's what Caleb was speaking here. And he and Joshua were the two of the 12 that were saying, we can do this. There's always going to be a step of faith that sees beyond the difficulties, that has surveyed the promises of God. That's what we give towards. That's what we invest our lives to. That's what, why we serve. That's why we give. That's why we do what we do here. But in verse 31, this is what happened here. The other men. In that list of the 12 men that went in to survey and explore the land, two of them, typically we remember their names, Joshua and Caleb. To be honest, the other 10, I can't remember one of their names off the top of my head. I have to always go back to Numbers 13 to see who they were. Do we want to be listed with the Joshua and Calebs, or do we want to be the other men? Wow. They've explored the land, but they disagreed. They said, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. And they spread a bad report amongst the people. Let's never have a bad report. Let's have a God report. Listen, this is what they began to say. We traveled. It's going to devour us. Oh my goodness. And all the people we saw that were huge. It went to a few giants to now everybody's huge. Oh, we can never do this. Oh, this is huge. We'll never. That's a bad report. May we not have a bad report, but a faith report. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. The spirit of a grasshopper. Are we going to have the spirit of faith or the spirit of a grasshopper? Listen, may this be applied to our whole entire church right now as we are believing God. We are being specific in what we pray for. We are taking bold steps of faith and bold initiatives, not only financially, but to see more people trained up, see more people released from their past and the bondage to experience the promises of God here. That's what we're doing. May we be listed with them. So if we're going to finish strong over the next 18 months, but I'm going to tell you, that's not the finish line. We have a finish line that we're going to stand before God and give an account. That's the real finish line. But we're going to finish what God has given us to start 18 months ago. In the next 18 months, we're going to finish strong. You see, listen, this is it. 10 of the spies compared themselves with the giants and with the difficulties. But listen, two of them compared the giants with God. And I know that in your life right now, there's difficulties, there's problems, there's obstacles, but we're not going to compare you to the obstacle. We're going to compare that obstacle with God, with a God-sized vision here. Finishing strong. That's what we're going to do. We at Bridge City Church, we believe we have surveyed the promises of God and they're yes and amen. And we can accomplish this. Listen, we have a future and we have a promise that we together are going to stand up for. Natalie and I, this is what we did 18 months ago. We asked those three revealing questions. We started with, what do we have? What can we give? And then we asked the question, what can we give up? But then the third one, this is the big question, what can we believe God for? And so that we gave first. Why am I saying that? Because Natalie and I, along with all of our leaders, are not going to ask you to do something that we haven't done. What do we have? And we've given up some things. Natalie and I said there's some certain house projects we're not going to do over the next several years because we want to invest in the kingdom of God. And then we said, what can we believe God for? And so over and above our regular giving, our regular tithes and offerings, it has been a joy to give. And we've seen an increase in our finances. We've increased what we have been able to invest in our future, and we've seen a blessing on it. We've been experiencing so many of the promises of God in our lives. That's our story. And I know that there are so many more stories out there. Those are the three questions that we're going to be asking each and every one of you to answer over the next week or so here. So this is it. What does faith do? This is it. Faith surveys and investigates the promises of God. That's where it starts, on the promises, on the word of God. Next, it sees the problems. Oh, it acknowledges the problems. But to be honest, we don't have financial problems. We have faith problems. We have accountability problems. That's really it. But you know what faith does? It steps forward and declares the power of God in the face of problems. That is faith. And we are in a season where God is speaking faith to us here at Bridge City Church. As a matter of fact, all summer long, we're going to be going through the book of Joshua and see the Israelites, their walk of faith into the promised land. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to help you in your walk of faith. And we're going to do this together. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your love and support. At this time, somebody from your campus is going to stand up and give a report of where we are with the One Vision campaign and give you an opportunity to boldly and proudly step in and be a part of what God's doing here at Bridge City Church.
Amen. Amen. So cool that we have technology now that we can all hear the same message in all four locations. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Matt Klingensmith. I'm one of the elders here at Bridge City. And I just loved this idea that Pastor Rick kind of led with this idea of faith, right? Where he kind of talked about that faith is really declaring the power of God in the face of our problems, right? It's saying, it's not ignoring the fact that there are obstacles or problems that we're going to face or that are in front of us, but it's comparing the size of that obstacle to the size and the bigness of our God, right? And understanding that God is bigger, that nothing is too difficult or nothing is too hard for him. Man, I feel like I'm really far away with this table here. I'm going to come closer. Yeah. This story of the spies that we're talking about, right, that Pastor Rick led off with. We have this story about the spies, and we know from understanding where this was in Israel's history, this is in a period where they've recently been enslaved in Egypt, right? So the Israelites were enslaved. The 10 plagues happen, you know, Moses, let my people go, the whole deal. And they come out of Egypt as if they're conquering heroes. They get to the edge of the Red Sea, and Moses, you know, holds up his staff, part the Red Sea on dry ground. Like, and they had these moments where there was a crisis of faith, right? Where they're standing on the edge of the Red Sea, the Egyptian army is barreling down on them, and they're afraid. And Moses has to stand up and say, stand firm, for you will see the deliverance of your God today, right? And that's when God parts the Red Sea, the Israelites go through on dry ground, and then God covers over the Egyptian army and literally defeats the Egyptian army on behalf of his people. So the people of Israel have encountered God's provision, they've encountered God's protection, and they've encountered God's promise on this journey to get to the edge of the promised land, right? So they all get there, they arrive, they're fully aware of what God has already done for them. But they get to this place and Moses says, go spy out the land, right? So he sends them in and they come back and they give their report that Pastor Rick read to us. But keep in mind that this report is after 40 days of walking through a land when they've already seen how God has brought them through victory after victory after victory. How many of you can relate to the idea of God bringing you out of a victory into freedom over something in your life? Yeah? Anybody? Right? We get to this place where we were once enslaved to sin, enslaved to something, and God brings us out in victory to live in freedom. But here's the reality. As bad as it was, what do these slaves start saying? It would have been better for us to die in Egypt. What's wrong with you, Moses? What's wrong with you, Aaron? It'd have been better for us to die in Egypt. See, here's the problem with freedom and victory is that there's responsibility that gets attached to it. Because when they were enslaved in Egypt, despite the horrible circumstances of their life, they weren't worried about where their next meal was coming from. They weren't worried about where their fresh water was that they were going to drink. They weren't worried about where they were going to live. See, now they've experienced this victory. They're walking into freedom, but now they've got to trust God for all of the things that the Egyptians had provided for them before. So slavery to them mentally became a place of comfort as opposed to a place of victory. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to give up comfort to be enslaved. I want to walk in victory and walk into freedom. Man, y'all, quiet today. I mean, that was good preaching. I'm just saying, right? I know it's weird to like amen yourself, but that was good preaching. So here's the reality, right? I'm preaching better than you're responding today, but that's okay. So let's take a look at this verse, right? In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6, this is after the report, the people of Israel begin grumbling and complaining, oh, if only we had died in Egypt, right? And it says in verse 5, Moses and Aaron as the leaders literally fell on their face before God and before the people. And the two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. I joked in the first worship experience. I thought about tearing my clothing. Pastor Nick offered to buy my shirt, but I still didn't take it up on it. So, no, I'm good. I'm good. I got to preach the rest of this message. That wouldn't be appropriate. all right, I'm going to move on. So, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is what? Is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land. Who will bring them? Lord. He will, right? He will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this is just how I read the Bible. I want to know what that means. Like, does that mean that there was literally a river where, like, milk was flowing, right? Like, that's just how I think about it. Like, is there honey just, like, flowing, or I guess flowing is not the right word, oozing, right, down the side of a rock, right? Like, where is this honey coming from? How is it flowing through? But nonetheless, what the people were finding was that it was attached to a promise that God had made before, that it is the promised land that they were going to be given. It's this place of promise that God had, and God is leading them into it, but they had to have a faith response in how they were going to respond. So we could either respond like the other men, right? I apologize that I had to walk over here to call you the other men. That's not intentional, okay? But we have like the 10 other men. I'll put them back here somewhere, right? The 10 other men, or we have two faithful spies who give a good report. Because the question in their minds became, is God big or are our enemies big, right? So faith at its core, thank you, sir. Faith at its core is, he got me a shirt in case I tear mine. I like it. we will. So faith is believing God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do, right? That's what faith is. Faith is believing in a God who will do the same things. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Right? We have a God that does not change. His promises are good. His mercy is new every morning, but our God doesn't change, right? His mercies are new every morning because we forget every morning and we can walk in shame and guilt and condemnation, but God's mercies are new every morning so that we can wake up and walk in the mercy of God that day and not live in misery, and we can walk in God's grace and walk into freedom. God is our firm foundation, and when we build our lives on him, like we sang about today, that he is our rock, he is our fortress, he is our deliverer, he is the place where when the storms of life come, as they inevitably will, he's the one who we can build our lives on and stand upon and not be shaken. So today, we're going to look at a report, and our ushers are going to be passing out here a report that looks kind of like this one, which gives us an update on where we are in what we call our One Vision campaign, right? Pastor Rick referred to it as our generosity initiative. Go ahead, guys. You can distribute those out if you can pass them out for me. So what these are as we look at them is a report, right? So I don't know how many runners we have in the room or maybe cyclists we have in the room, right? But when you're running, I have this app on my phone that when I run, that I get an update that gives me a split at my half mile and my mile, right? It's a milepost so that I know, am I on pace with where I want it to be or not, right? And so as a leader, we wanted to be able to give an account to you of where we are as a church in line with what we all said together collectively that we were going to do and what we were going to believe God for, right? So it'll be on the screen behind me as well as you're still getting your copy. But as you can see that big number up on the screen, our goal that we wanted to raise was $1.5 million, right? Now, I got to be honest, when we sat in a circle of room, as we call our executive team, our campus pastors and our elders, when we started talking about what number we were going to pick, and that was the number we were talking about, there was some faith that I had to attach to that number. I'm just going to be real, right? That number seemed really big to me. It seemed like the giants that we talked about in the land, right? Like, how are we ever going to accomplish this? And then, after we did our pledges, the people of Bridge City Church said, you know what, we're not just going to give 1.5, we're going to go over 1.8, right? That's the generosity that was demonstrated by God's people here in this faith community. So far to date, we've received over $750,000 that was pledged so that we can do what God's called us to do. Come on, we can be excited. How about that? Praise God. Praise God. Now, again, just giving an account, that means so far to date, out of the 207 commitments, that's families or giving units that have pledged, 41% of what was promised to be given has already been given, right? That's awesome. We can celebrate that, right? We can celebrate that. So when we look at this nice, nice bright colored bar in the middle, right? We have a breakdown of what that means in terms of giving so far within the people that have pledged to give what they said they were going to give, right? So we see that 8% have fully completed what they already committed to give, right? So 8% of people gave everything they already promised, right? They fully gave. We see 47% that are what we consider on schedule, okay? So it's not like we're like clocking you and going, okay, well, you're on schedule, you're on pace. No, literally all we did, take the 36 months that was this initiative. You said you were gonna give X. So if you're at 50% right now, you're on schedule, right? That's what that number means, okay? So, and we recognize that there are 22% listed here that are behind schedule. Now, listen, here's the reality, right? We have different ways that people get paid, different commission percentages. Some people are doing this out of their tax refund, and they've only gotten one so far after they pledge. Doesn't really matter. Again, we're just giving you an account of where we are so that you know where you are and you know where we are. Those of you that pledged, you probably know where you are already, right? You already know where you are already. So we can also see that 18% of people that initially pledged have not given yet. Okay, 18% have not given yet towards the One Vision campaign. Now, let me be really clear. My goal this morning is not to stand up and start to yell at all 18% of you and say, what is wrong with you, you horrible, wicked sinners, okay? That is not what I'm saying. Let me be really clear. Very, very seriously. Because here's what could happen, right? Is that somebody could be in this room and you might be in the 18%. And you might, no matter what I say or how I say it, you're going to think and say, oh, well, Matt said I'm a horrible, wicked sinner, and you're going to feel guilty and feel bad, and you're going to be ashamed, and you're not going to hear another word I say the rest of the day. Listen, we're not here to guilt or condemn you. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and this is a walk of faith that we have happen. Storms of life come. We make a pledge in an environment, and what can happen, right? Sometimes people lose their job or get relocated or have unexpected medical expenses they weren't prepared for. We get it. Life happens. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a life of faith, and I want to encourage you to say, God, what can I do? How can I do it? And can I walk in faith with you? Maybe you're in the 18%, and you feel like God's pricking your heart. So listen, all you gotta do is hit reset. Right? It's like when you get to that point in a video game and you know you're about to die and it's like, oh man, I don't want to lose all my, boom, reset button. Okay? It's all good. It's all good. All I can do is I'm responsible for what I can do now and forward, right? So I can repent, I can talk to God about it, and then I can move forward. And then there are 5% of this who are no longer attending our church, okay? Some of that is because of relocation. Some of that is because they've gone home to be with Jesus since they made their pledge, okay? But that's where we are numbers-wise. And I just wanted to make you aware of where we are because I believe it's our responsibility and we desire to be open because we together are the ones who accomplish this. This isn't a leader thing. It's not a staff thing. This is an all of us together thing saying we're going to attach our faith to be prepared to do what God is calling us to do as Bridge City Church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So on the back of that sheet, it'll also be on the screen behind me, we have some stuff that we can celebrate together, right? We can celebrate the fact that so far we've given over $126,000 away towards missions. Come on. And again, so we're clear, as the executive team of the church, as the elders and pastors that we talked, we decided that with what we are doing, part of the One Vision campaign, we set aside $100,000 of what's given under this every year to be sent away towards missions, right? Overall, we've committed as a church to give away 10% every year towards missions. We just have felt as leaders that we want to give back to God and we want to be a tithe of what we give to be able to give back towards the mission field. So some of what that's gone to, as you can see, is the Bami School in Liberia, right? So there is a school that we as Bridge City have been a large part of helping to build with Pastor Sydney and Musu Thomas, who are number three up there. They are missionaries in Liberia, West Africa. They built a school in an Islamic community where the Islamic leaders of that community send their kids to a Christian school where they hear every day about Jesus because the education is good because of what we are able to do, all of us together, to help support that work of ministry. Come on. That's exciting. We were able to give towards what's called a Roar School, right? Pastor Gary, our Brighton Heights campus pastor, is a big part of this movement called Global Roar, and it's about equipping and training up pastors in faraway parts of the world, right? Pastor John and Pastor Gary were recently away, and they were doing the same thing. They were raising up pastors in a country that's only 30 years old Christianity, right? This is about equipping and raising up pastors to go and reach and win people who are far from God in all of the parts of the world that you and I may never travel to. Right? Because we believe that the mission of God can go forward. And we want all of us together to be able to support what God is doing, not just here in the U.S., but all around the world. Right? So we're going to continue to support the school in Liberia. We've already done so this year. And we've got some other places that we're doing, Ukraine and Turkey with earthquake relief. So we're going to continue to give and be a part of what God's doing, not just here, but all around the world. So secondarily, you'll see towards the bottom of that sheet, that we've got two projects that have already been completed, right? One was a rehab, a refresh of the Brighton Heights auditorium, sanctuary, you know, the place where they meet. That's exciting, right? They're creating and making changes to make a more welcoming environment for people to come in and experience Jesus, right? That's what that's about. At our North Braddock campus, we were able to revamp the ramp that comes in so that handicapped and wheelchair access people that need a little bit more assistance that can't go up those steps at North Braddock, right? They don't have the same elevator that we've got here, right? Some of you are like, praise God for the elevator. That's awesome, right? But they have a way to help people get into the auditorium because we want to eliminate every obstacle we can to prevent people from meeting Jesus, right? That's what that's about. Now, if you're like I am when I saw that and kind of like, you know, I'm a dad who has four kids, so I can align to the four campus deal sometimes. If I gave two of my kids something, right? The other two are standing there with their hand out going, Dad, what about us, right? So naturally, you're probably thinking what I did, which is, well, what about White Oak? What about Murraysville? What's happening in those places? And Pastor Rick alluded to it already. Pastor Nick's going to share a little bit in a moment here as well. But we are trying to prepare ourselves because I don't know if you've been aware of this recently, it's getting harder and harder to find a seat within our worship experience here at White Oak, right? Talk about good problems, right? Talk about good problems. Man. I guess they like their seat too much, right? No. But here's the deal, right? We want to be able to be prepared to move when God says move and go when God says go, right? So we're continuing to pray and believe God that there might be land, there might be a building, but we want to be able to be prepared. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to buy land or buy a home, they want money up front. Like, they don't just like, oh, you're a nice guy, here you go, it's yours. Now, we're going to continue to pray and believe God that maybe somebody will do that for us, but we still want to be prepared to be able to move when God says move. So that's what we're believing for and still working towards here at our White Oak campus community as well, right? So, again, want to give you an account for where we are, for what's happening, and what's going on so far. Now, when we began this commitment, this initiative that we call the One Vision Campaign, it was a 36-month commitment. And I recognize that there are some people in this room that haven't been here for 36 months, so this might be new to you, right? So we don't want to deprive you of the opportunity to be a part of what God's doing through this campaign, right? That's why there's cards that look like this on your seat, okay? Now, they're not on your seat so that you can fill these out. There's a different card you can fill out. We'll talk about that in a little bit later as well. But these are on your seat so you can fill it out right now. In fact, I don't want this from you today, right? If you haven't done this before, if this is new, I really want you to be prayerful and considerate about this. I'm not asking for a knee-jerk emotional reaction to it. I want you to pray and ask God, right? Because there's three questions we ask when we go through something like this. The first is, these are the questions that my wife and I asked, Pastor Rick talked about, he and Natalie asking, right? The first is, what can I give, right? Now, when I get to that first, like, what can I give, that number usually is something that I can look at what's in my bank account and go, okay, I can afford this. I can afford this, right? It's kind of like when you open your wallet and go, can I afford to buy myself lunch today, right? Yes or no, right? Some of you with credit cards, you go, well, I can afford it because it's plastic, but that's a separate issue, okay? So, but can I afford this? Do I have the money to pay for it, right? The second question is, what can I give up, right? So some of y'all with your like Starbucks or Dunkin' addiction, some of you with your like Amazon one-click addiction, like Prime is a godsend and the worst thing known to humankind ever, right? Like at the same time somehow. But so there's this reality, what can I give up? So is there something in my life that I can go without for a time that God would call me to go without for a time to be able to give more? That's part of the equation of what we ask God about. And the third is, what can I believe God for? Because God will often take us to a place where he wants us to take a step beyond what we're able to do on our own, because that's where he meets us in a moment of faith, right? That's where he meets us. If somebody came to me and said, can I give $10 towards the One Vision campaign? Yeah, that doesn't take a whole lot, right? That's not asking a lot of me, right? Now, right now in my wallet, it'd be hard, but I could, you know, swipe it at the kiosk, right? But that's not a whole big ask. Now, if you say, can I give $10 a month? That would start to ask a different question maybe, or 20 or 30, right? I'm not trying to give you a number. What I'm trying to do is help you think through the process of how you can attach your faith to what God might ask you to do, right? Because again, we've left a life of slavery. We're walking in victory and freedom and following Jesus. And now we have a responsibility before God to do what God has called us to do. And when we talk about these generosity initiatives, it's over and above what God has already called us to do in his word. All right, so just so we've talked about that. But here's the deal. I remember when I first started coming to, at that time, Greater Pittsburgh Word and Worship Fellowship. How many of you glad it's a whole lot easier to say Bridge City Church now, right? But I remember sitting in the room, and one Sunday, Pastor Rick was preaching, and he had people in the room that were a part of the initial families that gave the first $75,000 to renovate what is now our North Braddock campus to be able to be a functioning building to be used for worshiping God in that place. And I remember sitting and watching these people stand up and looking at these people who gave so that my family and my kids could grow up in a place where they would know and love God. Like, they had a vision for more than just where they would worship, but for the people who had yet to come to know God in that place. And I can remember a few years later when my wife and I and our family were a part of our team that launched the first campus that was birthed out of what was then Word and Worship Church in our Murraysville community. And I remember 10 years on after we launched that place, we were in the new building in Murraysville. And I can remember a similar thing happening where those of us that launched the Murraysville campus were asked to stand up. And I looked around at the 40 other people that launched the Murraysville campus with us and saw the other 150 people that had come since we started that place. And I remember thinking how privileged I was that God would have considered me worthy to be a part of starting a work that would reach people that I don't get to see on a regular basis. And I don't want you to miss out on that opportunity 10 years from now. When we look back in the new facility that we're believing God to provide for us. And those of us that were a part of this initiative have to stand up and say, who was here when we did the One Vision campaign that gave so that all of the people that are gathered in this even larger auditorium that have met Jesus and their families and children have been restored and made whole and their lives changed? I want you to be able to stand up with me and celebrate what God's done through our simple act of stepping out in faith and giving to Him. That's what I want to invite you into. Because there's people in this room that weren't here when Pastor Nick and the team launched this campus. There's people here that have met Jesus because somebody else who's not even in this room was faithful to obey God and give of themselves and give of their time and their talent and their treasure so that people could experience a move of God. And I want to invite you to join us and be a part of this great thing called following Jesus and living a life of faith. Amen. So before we hear from Pastor Nick, I'm going to transition to a story from actually a couple, one of who used to be a part of our White Oak campus until she got married and then we lost her to the dark side. I'm just kidding. We sent her and we sent her into the Murraysville community so that she and her husband can continue to make a difference in that community. But they've got a story to share with us about how God has moved in their life since they made a commitment to be a part of this initiative. And I think you should hear that story as well. So let's take a look together.
My name is Mary.
My name is Jared.
And we've been attending Bridge City for
pretty close to 6 years now. We're coming up on it.
Yes, we met at the church.
Yeah, we got married June 5th, 2021.
Yes.
At the Murraysville campus.
So when the One campaign started, I still had like 6 months left of college and I had 30 grand in student loan debt, which we hadn't started paying off.
And we're thinking like not only with the debt we have, how much we have in the bank currently, but even future goals. Like, okay, we want to buy a house. We want to be able to do these things and kind of, you know, provide for our family. So these questions that we wrestle with and the tension we wrestle with, just preparing our hearts to say, God, what do you want us to give?
I was taking a finance class in college at that time, and it hit me, the amount we made this year, we could give this amount of money. Mm-hmm. And then I budgeted out and I was like, well, if we make this much next year, then we can give this much to the One campaign. But we have to like believe in faith for that because we might be struggling a little bit.
And so we both prayed about it and kind of came together and was like, all right, are you sensing this? Yeah, I'm sensing this is good. Like, we're good to go. I'm like, all right, let's just see what happens.
And then once we gave to the campaign, it was, I think, like that month or the next month, we kind of started seeing just an increase in finances. So where Jared works, he makes salary but can make commission. There's like a bonus structure. And he hadn't bonused a whole lot, but shortly after we started giving, it was like these bonuses just kind of started coming in and sometimes like multiple weeks in a row. So it was not only a few months after that we paid all our debt off. By the time I graduated college, I was debt free.
It hit probably like 3 to 4 months in of just seeing this increase of like, you know, this wasn't the case until we started like giving through the One Vision campaign. It was just so like not logical, you know what I mean? Like, it was just not intuitive just to my natural, what I would naturally plan out. And so like to go to take that step of faith and begin to see shortly after like all of just the financial provision pour in by the grace of God, it was just natural, not usual provision that we weren't seeing prior.
God is so faithful. And when we come to Him in our faith, like He really wants to love on His kids. He's a good, good father. He doesn't want to withhold from His kids. And it's, you don't give to get something back. It's not about that, but it's just about trusting that when you're sowing into the kingdom, like that is the absolute best place for your money to be. And so if you're sowing into the kingdom, like he's going to give it back and just and pour it out for you. So when you're giving to the One Vision campaign, your heart is committed to the mission to see as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus, right? Like your heart gets put into that. And that's a joy. There's a great joy there, and a great feeling of community to know that you're a part of that.
So